Pray for me, saints. And I preach all the time when I get up here before y'all. I get very nervous. The theme today, with the Lord's help, will be friendship with the world is enmity with God. And we'll go to the scripture. James chapter 4. Verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, we want to keep the balance here. We as God's people, we as saved saints, should be friendly to the world. We should help our neighbors, help our schoolmates, be cooperative with those at work, and pray for them. And throughout the years, I remembered their birthdays. I had enemies at work. I remembered their wives' birthdays, their children's birthdays, and won their friendship by doing good deeds to them, as God led me. So we're in no way referring to not showing the love of God. The love of God should be flowing through us. We should be merciful, kind, compassionate, understanding, lending help and ear to those that we work with, neighbors, friends, whoever, the unsaved world. However, if we as God's people are seeking our encouragement, friendship, advice, and counsel from the world, we're going to go the wrong way. It's going to lead us astray. We will be influenced. We will be affected. You might not personally notice it in the beginning, but it will eventually lead you the wrong way. And so this is not my advice. It's my advice because it's the Bible advice, but it doesn't come from me. It comes from the Bible. I'll read it again. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity? It means you're God's enemy. With God, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So how many of us want to be the enemy of God? I don't think that any of us would want to be the enemy of God here. So therefore, then we have to keep a distance. There has to be a line drawn between this is holiness, this is semi-holiness, and this is no holiness. We don't want semi-holiness either. May the Lord help us. I came from a very worldly family. We had TV blurring, music blurring. My dad, maybe y'all get tired of me saying this. My dad was a very good man, a very honest man. He'd take off his shirt, off his back to give to the poor. He helped my grandparents in their poverty build on and bathrooms and et cetera, and his parents, and a very good man. But sadly, he started hanging around with his cousins, and they sold drugs, and they got more and more into it, and almost up to the height of the drug cartel when I was growing up. And so I grew up in a very worldly family. And when I gave my heart to, I cried out to God at age 8, gave my heart to God around age 14. But I met a 90-year-old black man at age 11, and he gave me his Bible to read, and I started reading it. And that's what started convicting me of my sin and of my wrong. And so growing up, I raised my two sisters, and as they got married to worldly mates, and they'd invite me to their marriage. One of them invited me to their wedding, and they were going to have this big bang wedding with live musicians and champagne and alcoholic beverages and the whole works and a dance afterwards. And of course, I needed to go to my sister's wedding because they're my sisters, and I want to show them that I do love them and that I'm not cold-hearted and callous. So I did go, but I told them, I'm going to go to your wedding, and I'm going to sit there, and I'm going to listen to the ceremony, and I'm going to say hello to your family and his family, my family, and then I'm going to go. I'm going to eat real quick and leave because I don't dance, I don't do alcohol, and I hope you understand. Oh, yeah, they understand. So that's what we're talking about today. You must draw the line. You can't go there and stay there while they're drinking and laughing. And if we do stay there, it's showing that we're condoning it. That's right. We're like saying it's okay. Oh, my brother Tony was there and he's a minister. He's condoning it. No. Lord, help us to be careful. Growing up, I didn't go to the stadium to watch games, football, basketball. Why? Because I was so holy and so self-righteous. No, I knew. With those cheerleaders halfway undressed, dancing before the pep rally, that was not a good place for me to be. That's not the spirit of the Lord. And it was not easy. I was very young, and I was raised by a family that was worldly, but the Bible convicts you. Here it is right here. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Let's go to 1 Peter, 1st Epistle of Peter, chapter 1, verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy. Who's called us? Almighty, holy God. He doesn't sin, he doesn't lie, he doesn't go back in his promises. He's holy through and through. So be ye holy. You know, if any of you listen to Christian radio today or you visit a so-called denominational church, you may hear, if you listen long enough or go to enough services, you'll hear, we're all sinners saved by grace. You can't judge me. Nobody's perfect. But I go, what do you mean we're all sinners? You're saying you still murder, you still commit fornication, you still lie as a minister? It doesn't even sound right. But they don't realize it. They're like little parrots. They're repeating it. They heard it and they go, we're all sinners. We're saved by grace. Nobody's perfect. You can't judge me. So we need to be careful, saints. God has called us to holiness. And we can live in holiness. When we're infilled by the Holy Spirit, as the Church of God teach that doctrine, the second work of grace, we are endued with power from on high, and we can, and we will, if we remain in tune with the Holy Spirit, we will live holy lives. Yes, we'll still be tempted. Yes, we may make some errors and mistakes in our judgments, some of the words that we speak, but we can live in holiness. And we as God's children are living in holiness by His grace, by His help. No honor and glory to ourselves, glory to His precious name. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner. In all manner of conversation. Conversation here, as most of us know, doesn't mean only what you speak, but your way of living. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And you know, some of y'all might have studied the chameleon. I studied about the chameleon some time back, and there are other animals that change colors to fit their environment. Yeah. If a chameleon will go up a limb that's green, and it's red when it started, it'll turn green to blend in with the branch. If it goes up a brown trunk of a tree, it'll change colors to blend in with the trunk. And I'd like to ask the question today, are you Chameleon Agatha today? Are you Chameleon Joe today? Through the years in our work in Ciudad Juarez, Mexico, we've met a lot of Chameleon Agathas, a lot of Chameleon Joes. They'll come to the services worldly and dressed worldly, speaking worldly, and that's okay. We accept them just the way they are. But the Lord will gradually start speaking to them, and they'll start changing in their way of dress and their way of speaking, and they'll get rid of the TV and get rid of worldly music, supposedly. And then lo and behold, we accidentally, the Lord sends us before some of them, either to the S-Mart store or we're passing by their neighbor's home or their relative's home, and we've caught some of them with gold chains and earrings and the woman with the hair down and worldly looking and with these, instead of the dress, these nylon things that are tight there. And they don't know what to do. They know where to go and what to do because we caught them. And I stopped by and I, hi, how are you doing, Chameleon Joe? How are you doing, Chameleon Martha? Well, you look so different today. You didn't look that way on Sunday. I talked to them firmly. But I said, we still love you the way you are. But I want to tell you something. If you're doing this just for Brother Tony, It's very shallow. You better be doing it for God because He sees you every single moment. And Brother Tony's not going to stand, he's not going to be sitting on the throne judging you. It's going to be God. I said, but don't worry about it. We love you just the way you are, but I want more of you. I expect more of you. God expects more of you. Be holy, for I am holy. We show up and they're holding something in their hand called tecate, a beer. They hand it over to the neighbor. Said, oh, my neighbor asked me to hold it while he did such and such. I said, okay, I'll accept that, I say. Okay, but you know what? If my neighbor handed me a beer, I'd say, I can't hold it. I'm not going to hold it for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Holiness should not be a veneer. Yes. Yes. Holiness should not just be when you come to service. Really, may we love the Lord with all of our heart, mind, and strength, and may we want to be true at every moment. Yes. Yes. What would you think if you had a husband or wife that said that they loved you and, oh, you're just the most precious woman, and I love your hair, and I love your face, and your lips, and I love the way you cook, and I love the way you sing, and keep on saying this, and then all of a sudden, he's supposed to be at work, and you show up to the work, and he's sitting in the car kissing another woman. Would you still believe all those words? Would they mean anything? They carry very little weight. The Lord wants us to be holy all the time. He wants us to live with conviction. No matter if we are with our best friend Shasha or our best friend Lulun, it doesn't matter who we're with. Let Shasha dress like she wants. Let Lulun speak like he wants. But you speak like a saint. And you dress like a saint. You know that it's very disappointing to come up on somebody and find them acting differently and find out that they're being hypocritical. It is very discouraging. We can encourage one another by saying, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to be this way all the time. I'm going to speak like a saint all the time. I'm going to speak like a saint person all the time. I'm going to act like a saint person all the time. By the grace of God. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lusts in your ignorance. Let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. Growing up, you know, I was encouraged to read Proverbs, and I still read all through the Bible. At least it takes me about a year and a half. I've been reading it that way over and over and over, and I'm in Proverbs again. I encourage you young people and older people to read Proverbs regularly. It's really clear and crisp and to the point, and it gives us good advice over and over and over again. It says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10, my son, my daughter, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as a grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. Verse 15, my son, my daughter, walk now, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain. Put the brakes. Refrain thy foot from their path. I'd like to exhort the young people now. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be, there's a promise with it, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on earth. Notice that last part, that you may live long. It's for your protection that you refrain your foot, that you not go with them. And your parents are going to tell you, don't go to that prom, don't go to that dance. I don't want you hanging around with those young kids. And you're going to say, why not, Mom? Why not, Dad, if you don't have wisdom? It says here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, children, obey your parents 50% of the time. Children, obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing to who? Unto the Lord. I'd like to tell a story that I read in a newspaper when I was about 23 years old. I was young in the ministry. Started preaching at age 11 and became a part of ministry in a non-denominational church at age 20. When I was age 23, I read an article in the newspaper about a young woman. I'm not going to tell you the end. I'm going to leave you guessing till I tell the last part. Anyway, we don't know what exactly happened, but I imagine this was happened, that this young girl went to this place that she did. It told in the article that this young daughter, maybe 14, 15, wanted to go to a party with her friends. And the mother begged her not to go, and she argued with the mother. She said she was going. She says, no, go to your room, and you're going to stay in there. Well, she did obey her parents in that part. She went to her room, but she didn't obey them in all things. That night, her friends came to the window. They threw rocks in her window and knocked on it. She stuck her head out, obviously. Didn't tell all this in the article, but she escaped that night. She went to the party. And they told her, we'll get you back. We'll get you back early. Your parents won't know. Anyway, the young girl went to the party. We don't know what happened, but I can fill in the blanks. They drove down a dark alley. They opened the trunk. They took out a gasoline tank. The guys that were with her and the girls were all stoned out of their mind, laughing and carrying on. And she got out and they started throwing gasoline on her. Excuse me. And they lit the match. I can just imagine what she was thinking at that moment. Why did I not obey my parents in all things? And they threw it on her. The next day they found a dead body burned in an alley. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, say no. My son, walk thou not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. We might think as young people that our parents are fuddy-duddy. They're too strict. And this Church of God has just too many rules. First of all, the Church of God has no man-made rules. We walk according to the Holy Spirit. But your parents at home are going to put rules. And they have the right to put rules. It's their home. They're paying for it. They're responsible for you. They will give account for the influence that they have upon you. And so, cooperate with them. Don't make it hard on them. You will soon enough be out and doing what you want, and you're going to be calling mom and dad. Mom and dad, how do you do this? Mom and dad, my tire bursting. Can you come help me? I'm stranded in the middle of the road. Then you're going to want them then. So, love your parents. Appreciate them. Be a strong soldier and be ready for boot camp and do what they say. One day you'll be out of boot camp and you'll say, I wish I was still at home. Yes. Amen? Yes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. The Gentiles at this time were those that were not Jews were considered Gentiles, and they were the unbelieving world. When we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it's strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot. Excuse me. Speaking evil of you. Can that be said of us? Can it be said of us that we don't go to those parties? We don't join in with them? I once asked a young man, because I knew that I had some persecution growing up because I refused to do some things. I asked him, so I'm really praying for you. I told him from our church that we left, you know, that God will encourage you because I know you have a lot of persecution. He said, no, I don't have any persecution. Right away I said, something's wrong. No, I have a lot of friends and we get along real good, he said. I said, if you don't have any persecution at school, something's wrong. You're blending in too much. Amen. You're probably acting just like them. And I'm so thankful that that those of us that are His children, that we can say that our relatives think it not strange, our brothers and sisters think it not strange that we run not to the same excess of riot with them. Can that be said of you? I hope that can be said of you. They can say, oh, Sister Maxine doesn't go with us to those places. We already know her. We're not even going to ask her because we know she doesn't do that. Amen. Amen? Amen? Brother Clint doesn't do that. We're not going to include him in this job party that we're having because we know he won't even go. Yes. Amen? Amen? He won't go because we're going to be drinking alcohol. Otherwise, he would go. Amen? There was once someone that visited a dump yard, and they saw a rose bush growing there, and lo and behold, a beautiful rose there blooming. And the guy said, that's going to smell like this dump. But he decided to go look into it and smell it. He goes, wow, this rose smells like a rose. And there it was growing in the dump yard. I heard this story when I was growing up. And it has encouraged me through the years that even though we do live in a dump, Jesus didn't pray for God to take us out of the world, but to keep us from the evil that was in the world. And while we may have to go to school, we may have to go to work at Walmart or at that high tech company, we don't have to smell like them. We don't need to talk like them. We don't need to act like them. I was a manager of a McDonald's for 3 years, from age 16 to age 18. And they all knew my standard and how I lived. Yes, I laughed with them. We laughed together. We had a good time together. I was a manager and I was kind of strict. But I understood them. I gave them counsel, and because they knew who I was, with time I won their heart, and they'd come say, Tony, what do you think about this and this? I'm having trouble with this. And Tony, will you pray for this? That's the way it was. They'd come ask for my help and my advice. They said, well, Tony won't do that. Don't even invite him. They already knew. Amen? We're living in the dump, saints. And the world is looking for that fragrance of the love of God. The sweet fragrance of someone that has stability, and someone that can be counted on. Someone that won't defraud them and lie to them and backstab them. Someone that is the same all the time in this changing world. Will we be that person? Will we seek for the help of the Lord that we can be that person? Will we be that rose in the dump that's surrounded by stench, lying and stealing and hatred and backstabbing and adultery, fornication and promiscuous sex, but yet we are the rose? May the Lord help us. May the Lord help me. In our spirit too, saints, may the Lord help us. The spirit that we reflect to others would not be harsh, although God's people should be firm. May the Lord help me to reflect the love, and the mercy, the kindness, the compassion of God, amen? Without being accepting of what's wrong, amen? Yes. We have to keep that line. There was once a man that had a beautiful singing bird, and a neighbor had another one that screeched real horrible. And the neighbor would go visit, the neighbor that had the screeching horrible bird would go visit the one that had the beautiful melodious singing bird. And he says, you know what? I wish my bird would sing like your bird. He says, you know what? What we could do, we should put them together, and my bird could teach your horrible screeching bird to sing melodious songs. And so, yeah, that's a good idea. So they put them together in the same cage, and lo and behold, something horrible happened. Instead of the bird that sang melodiously, continuing singing melodiously and affecting the screeching bird, the beautiful singing melodious bird started going, ah, ah! And that's what he would do. He'd copy the other one. There's something in us that says, you know, I'm going to redo, retrain him, and redecorate him. I know he's of the world. I know she's of the world. But I'm going to sing to him and pray with him, and he's going to give his heart to the Lord, and then I'm going to marry him or her. And Brother Carl spoke so wonderfully about that. Amen. May the Lord help us. It might backfire on you. There's a small percentage where sometimes you can win them, for real. But are you willing to take the chance of that small percentage? But once you're married, you're married. Once he brings in the TV when you didn't want it, it's going to stay there. Once he brings in his 20 buddies that are drinking, that he wasn't supposed to be drinking because he became saved and became part of the church of God, but now he backslid because he did it just to win you. And now he brings in those 20 buddies drinking, and you've got two beautiful daughters that you don't want anybody to do anything to. How are you going to handle that? Those are the things we need to think about. I told the Lord, Lord, I don't want a woman that I'll have to tell that I enjoy women that wear skirts. I want a woman that says, I have the conviction from the Lord that I'm not going to wear those things. I didn't want a woman who had to say, Lord, honey, I don't want you cutting your hair anymore. I wanted a woman that had the conviction that she wasn't going to cut off even her split ends. Why? Because of what it says in 1 Corinthians 11. It's a glory for a woman to have long hair. I wanted a woman that I wouldn't have to say, honey, have you read your Bible already? Honey, have you prayed? Many times my wife is praying and reading before I am. I go, Lord, help me. And I go pray and read. She's an example to me at times. Amen? I wake up and she's out in the living room on her knees at the sofa praying. I say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for helping me to wait for a godly, virtuous. When I married my wife, I had them read Proverbs 31. Virtuous woman. Do you want an established virtuous woman, or you want one that just becomes established because semi-established because you wanted them to be like that beautiful singing bird? You're the beautiful singing bird, and you were going to train them and redo them and redecorate them. They might redecorate you, spiritually speaking. Amen? Oh, Lord, help us. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation. We as the church of God are not saved by what we do. We're not saved by our works. We're saved through what Jesus does through us. What the Holy Spirit does through us as we yield to Him. And no honor and glory goes to any of our good works. We're saved by the precious blood of Jesus. Amen. And not by silver or gold. However, when the grace of God does appear, saints, if you had a house that was falling down, plumbing didn't work, the roof was falling in, you had only concrete in your living room, it was all shambles, and you won a remake for your home, a remodeling for your home. And they came in and said, you know, you'll need to leave your home for a month, and when you come back, woo, you'll be different. So you leave, and you come back, and it says outside, redecorated. Redone, restored, refurbished. And you walk in and nothing has changed. You still have the leaky faucet. You still have the roof that has fallen in. Wouldn't you be greatly disappointed? Well, the workman has showed up. He's here. His name is Grace. Her name is Grace. She wants to enter your heart. And she wants to begin restoring. She wants to begin redoing. And that's what this verse means right here. Titus chapter 3, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The religious world today says we're saved by grace, and what do you mean I shouldn't wear that? Y'all are legalistic. I tell them, no, nobody's told me I have to wear this. Nobody's told me that I don't have to do that. None of the saints have told me any of the changes I've made in my life. None of them. Sister Maxine never told me to do this or do that. Brother Clint has never told me get rid of that. Never. I saw and I understood the doctrine. I said, I've got to make these changes. Even though I was already living very close to the saints, there were things that we had to get rid of, stop doing, and start doing. We never had an altar we had come pray before. We never washed one another's feet in the service. We didn't do that. We taught that we fulfilled that by serving one another. Do as I have done unto you. That's the spirit of service. We never practiced washing one another's feet in the service. We had to start doing that if we wanted to obey God. You know, I had given you an example, Jesus said. Happy are ye if you do these things. Amen? The grace of God will teach us. Amen? Are you allowing the grace of God to teach you to deny ungodliness? what you're watching on your cell phone, is it godly or is it ungodly? Are you allowing the grace of God to tell you, Sister Shasha, you shouldn't be looking at that video. You shouldn't be looking at that video, Sister Shasha. Get out of that place. There you go. Oh, that's just my conscience speaking. I don't care. I'm going to keep on watching it. Nobody, none of the saints know anyway. Oh, saints, the grace of God is teaching us to deny all ungodliness and worldly lust. Well, who says what's worldly and what isn't? The Holy Spirit will tell you. You know, when I was growing up, I loved going to carnivals. I loved going to the circus as a young kid. You go, what's wrong with that? Once I got saved and I went again, the spirit that was there, I could feel it thick. The worldliness. And it wasn't causing me to look up to God. It was causing me to look at the things around me. And I said, Lord, I don't want to go there anymore. And I stopped going. I used to do trick-or-treating still. I love to go trick-or-treating. Once I found out that on that day, witches actually do sacrifice kids, I stopped trick-or-treating. Amen? Is it wrong with getting candies? No. Is it wrong with giving candies? No, nothing's wrong with it. It's the spirit of it all. What are we backing up? If we go along with it, what are we doing? We're following a worldly world. Amen? Worldly lusts. We should live soberly. Be serious about your salvation. Righteously. The word right is in there. Is this right before God or is it wrong before God? Live righteously before God and godly. Everything that is of God, everything that is of Jesus, everything that is of the Holy Spirit is godly in this present world. And hasn't this world gotten worse, saints, just in the past 3 years? Homosexuality, now they're able to marry man with man, women with woman. They're able to adopt kids and raise them. Two men or two women raising kids. Aren't they going to be confused? We have men and women changing their genders, going through painful surgeries. Oh, the Holy Spirit can teach us different. Oh, the grace of God can teach us different. Amen? Yes. Then it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, 2 Corinthians 6, 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Be ye not unequally yoked. What does that mean, unequal? It's not equal. It doesn't blend with one another. Usually when, in those days, when they put yoke on the oxen, it was two oxen. They usually put an older one with the younger one, and the older one would teach the younger one how to pull the load and what to do. But what if you put an ox with a donkey? Or with a goat? He's going to be kicking you and going the other way. You're going to be going, trying to go straight, and he's going to be pulling you to the right. Have you ever had your tires unbalanced, your car unaligned, and you have to hold it because you let go and it goes? You're going to be struggling all the time. No, honey. No, darling. And no, I don't want to do that, darling. No, honey. Why do you? And it's going to be a struggle continually. And if you're in that situation, we're not condemning you. God will give you grace in your situation. May the Lord have mercy on in your situation. Please understand, God can help you in your situation. He's faithful. He will encourage you and strengthen you if you're unequally yoked in marriage with someone. Or if you are unequally yoked in a business with someone. Even that we need to be careful of. We become unequally yoked with people that will drag our name through the mud because of what they did. We need to be careful too who we go in business with. We don't want to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what accord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Infidel is an unbeliever. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out. Whoops. Come out. Why, brother? Why do we have to come out? Come out. Come out. Leave when they start talking like that. Let them talk. Walk away. Are you in a church that teaches doctrine contrary to the Bible? Walk out. Don't stay there. Come out. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. Separate? Yeah, be separate. Saith Brother Tony. Saith the Lord. And touch not that TB control. Touch not that unclean thing. Touch not that can of beer. Touch not that unclean, filthy cigarette that's going to give you cancer. I've seen some with, they're old and they're hunched over and they've got one cigarette in their mouth and they got the mask, oxygen. Oh, may the Lord spare us from that. Those filthy things are just going to ruin you. Oh, help us, Lord, to have wisdom. Touch not. If you're touching it, go home and say, Lord, I don't want to touch it anymore. Touch not the unclean thing. Amen? And I will receive you. Oh, Brother Tony, God is with all of us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. I hear that in the religious world. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. That promises to his children that come out and that touch not. The end, at that time will I receive you. When David committed adultery with Bathsheba, later on we read in Psalms, remember that psalm that says, take not, what? Thy Holy Spirit from me. True, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was not indwelling them, but he was with them. He's saying, Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Lord, saints, if we walk with the world and we're a part of the world, we can't expect the Lord to remain with us. He will visit us. He'll speak to us. But you can't expect him to walk hand in hand with you if you're holding on to the world. The Bible says it. The friendship of the world is enmity with God. Amen? Proverbs 22, verse 24. Proverbs 22, verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. There we gave that little story of the two birds together. They were hoping that that bird would teach the screeching, squawking bird how to melodiously sing and chirp. It had the opposite effect. And this is just speaking about making no friendship with people that don't have a control, temperance in their spirit. But we can apply that to anything. We tend to, if we like somebody, we'll begin saying little phrases that they say, doing little things that they do, and we might not notice it or realize it. May the Lord help us. May, Jesus said, ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. And may he be our friend. May he be the one that we want to mimic, copy, and emulate. Amen? May the Lord help us. Glory to his name. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. If we're not careful to walk in the Spirit, if we're lost, if we're not careful to cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, save me, everything that we do is going to seem right to us. We're not going to see anything wrong with it. We're going to think it's okay. But once the Holy Spirit starts illuminating us and we start reading the Word of God, we start seeing how much we lack and how much we need to change. Sitting down watching TV, spending all your time on the internet, is not going to show you. It might give you some pointers on how to do better in your job, how to paint this object or whatever, but it's not going to give you wisdom apart from the stuff that's on their scriptures. Amen. But apart from that, most of it is not going to help us to change. So may the Lord help us. May we choose our friends wisely. Even among the saints, we should be desiring to be with the ones that are more zealous, more convicted. Amen? Not choose the ones that are on the borderline, wishy-washy. What if we begin to act like them? Amen? Yes, reach out to them. Yes, invite them over to your home for a meal. But you be the strong one. You be the one that'll give out the influence. Amen? Don't let them influence you. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man. And if we don't ask for the wisdom of the Lord, we will make grave mistakes because everything that we do was, well, you know, it's not that bad. It doesn't seem that off. But if we ask the Lord, he'll show us, you know, you don't see this danger or you don't see that danger in it. May the Lord give us wisdom. Yeah. Amen. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. There's a blessing if we do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Do you find yourself going and asking your worldly friend for advice? Or do you really go to that saint that might seem kind of harsh and firm and thinking he or she is kind of rigid? I would go ask him or her for advice. Yes. Yeah. They might seem kind of rigid, but you see that they're 100% with the Lord. That's the one that I'd go to ask counsel from. Number one, from the Lord, of course. Sometimes we need counsel from somebody. And we don't walk. May the Lord help us to not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners. Do you find yourself wanting to go to that party? Do you find yourself wanting to go to that baseball, football game? Why? Are you worldly? If you're worldly, ask the Lord, Lord, take this worldliness out of my heart. Amen? This is not Brother Tony's words. This is the Bible. Walk. Amen? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner. Amen? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. To almost conclude here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. You know, through our years, 13 years now preaching in Ciudad Juarez, Mexico, many have forsaken us. And we see them now, some of them all tattooed, an earring here, an earring here. They're talking in a way that is very displeasing to God. They're doing things that are very displeasing to God, and it breaks our heart. It breaks our heart that these demons have forsaken the Lord. They've forsaken gathering with us, but you know what? We're praying for them. And we're going to be praying for you if you find yourself in this situation. There are some that were here at one time with us. We started coming 13 years ago. There were a lot of them. I don't see those faces here anymore. Those demons have forsaken the Lord and forsaken us, having loved this present. Do you love the world? Do you love its fashion? Do you love its glitter, its glamour, its fame, its approval? Oh, pray. Oh, Lord, take it out of me. I don't want to forsake the Lord for something that's less than what I could have throughout the ages of eternity. And then, as we heard, end up in a place that I don't want to be throughout the ages of eternity. Amen? To conclude, some verses that we as God's people are all familiar with. They're very clear to us. Sometimes we feel like we're preaching to the choir, right? Choir can sing beautifully, and they don't need to sing more beautifully, but God has sent forth his preachers, prophets, pastors, for what? For the perfecting of the saints, that we should all reach the fullness and the stature of Christ. Amen? In school, they give you refresher courses, and you might forget some things, and you might need to sharpen up in this point or in that point. First Epistle of John, chapter 2:15. First Epistle of John, chapter 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, if any man, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I don't say it, the Bible says it. Amen? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of my Father, the will of God, abideth forever. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Do you love that lipstick? Do you love that eyeliner? Do you love the nail polish? Pray, oh Lord, take this vanity out of my heart. May the Lord help us to love simplicity. I mentioned this before, but what would you think if somebody, what do you think would happen to somebody if they entered to a museum where the Mona Lisa is at? Like, you know, her lips are kind of pale, and I'd rather for her to have blonde hair. And you brought with you some red lipstick, and you brought some yellow spray, and you walk up there, and you and paint her lips. What will they do to you? They'll immediately handcuff you and take you out and fine you and imprison you because you're defacing a work of art. You're vandalizing a work of art. Oh, saints, may we not vandalize. Sister, you look beautiful, natural. Brother, you look manly enough without the tattoo. Praise the Lord.